This podcast brought to you by Konica Minolta. Rent an eligible A3 color multifunction printer and receive 3 months free rental. See konicaminolta.com.au for terms and conditions.
Welcome to the daily full show podcast of the Ray Hadley Morning Show.
The Power Station.
This is Ray Hadley in the Morning, right across Australia.
Good morning and welcome. Wednesday the 6th of May. I'm Ray Hadley. Great to have your company on 2GB, 2CC, 4BC and stations on the Macquarie Regional, Southern Cross and Capital Radio Networks. Top of 20 in the city of Sydney, same out west, 29 in Brisbane, and we'll check the weather across the rest of the listening area shortly. And no matter where you are, the number's the same, 131873. Email me either rayhadley.com, 2GB.com. And now 4bc.com.au. You can also access information from the program by going to facebook.com/ The Ray Hadley Morning Show. Those of us with a mortgage are all doing handstands on this Wednesday morning at the lowest interest rates in this country's history. The Reserve Bank dropped the official rate to 2% yesterday afternoon. ANZ has passed on the full rate cut. The Commonwealth is down by 0.2%. Westpac NAB haven't moved on their rates yet. There is another side to this, as self-funded retirees get hammered again. We are doing some work on just what the budget changes will mean to about 200,000 self-funded retirees. The formula's pretty simple, but other things are not. Under the current system, a retired couple with assets of up to $1.15 million on top of the family home can claim a part pension. A single person with assets up to $775,000 on top of the family home, if he or she lives alone, can claim a part pension. Under the new system, the retired couple with assets of up to $820,000 on top of the family home can claim the part pension, and a single person with assets up to $550,000. But there are other benefits that we can't really define at the moment, and I was asked about that yesterday by various people. But given the government is not releasing details of the budget, I mean, this is all speculation, but it's probably pretty well based speculation. We'll have to wait for all those other things, and maybe we'll get some sort of indication from the Minister responsible, Scott Morrison, on Monday when we talk to him. Now, a story out of Queensland, a 28-year-old who's been convicted over having the most vile child sexual abuse material on his phone. You couldn't imagine anything worse than what this bloke has done, has escaped jail in a Brisbane court. And I want to commend a young woman who chased after him outside of court. She's a reporter for Channel 10. I don't know her, but I'll play you the audio from that Channel 10 report in Brisbane last night. She goes after this creature as she comes out of court and declares that she is a young mum. And the pure, I guess, audacity of this bloke. He's been, you know, and he admits in the audio you'll hear later that he actually has got away with it. He's got away with it. That, he says, that's why you're angry. And while I'm dealing with that, courts are obviously the place where people are dealt with once they offend. And this morning there's been a big announcement between the AFP and the New South Wales Police Force, and they've got a new task force in conjunction to stamp out sexual exploitation material. Perpetrators, they say, of the online sexual exploitation of children will continue to be vigorously pursued wherever the crime occurs, whether it be in Australia, with our citizens, or overseas. That came from the Federal Justice Minister, Michael Keenan. He said we need to make sure that we can rapidly share intelligence that we get from our overseas partners between the federal police, state and territory police forces. That's pretty good, Michael. And I applaud you, and I applaud Troy Grant, the New South Wales Police Minister as well. But there's a problem for you, fellas. You catch them, you put them in front of courts, with their local courts, district courts or Supreme Courts, or in the case of Melbourne County Courts, and you won't get a result. You won't get a result. If these people, like this bloke, this 28-year-old I'm talking about today, had been caught doing this in the United States of America, he'd be facing 10, 15 years jail for having this material on his phone, where a one-year-old child is sexually assaulted, a one-year-old child. And one of the conditions given to this bloke, he can return to his home and continue his work as a lawn mowing contractor, despite the fact that he would be in contact with children via that lawn mowing contract. Now, I watched the Late Line interview from last night on the ABC with the Director of Content from the SBS. Director of Content, what's that all about? Director of Content, Content Directors. I think we have a few left in the radio network. We shouldn't give them another name. I mean, commercial radio and TV should never have content directors. It's anachronistic. It's from the ABC, and all of a sudden people within commercial radio and TV are adopting content directors. Maybe I'm getting old, but please spare me in my final days in broadcasting content directors. Content wankers. Anyway, I watched the Late Line interview from last night with the Director of Content from SBS, Helen Kelly, and the Blacktown Mayor, Stephen Barley, about this three-part so-called documentary on Mount Druitt. Now, it's pretty simple. I declare an interest. I grew up in a housing emission estate, Dundas Valley. And the boffins at SBS would have no idea what it's like to live there and combat the problems people confront. The bigotry. Oh, you're a houso. You're a houso. You'll never be any good. In any community across this country, in Sydney, Brisbane, Toowoomba, Canberra, anywhere, there's a percentage of disadvantaged people. The people taking part in this TV production have not been paid, and I don't wish to inflict any more grief on them, but they're not sophisticated people. They wouldn't know how to deal with producers and fast-talking wankers from SBS. They've been handled. And the boss of SBS should put the TV series on hold until he knows all about how these people have been tricked into appearing without full knowledge of what they're in for. They are vulnerable people, and they're being taken advantage of by these TV types from the inner city looking for a headline, and by the gee, they've got it. And I'm adding to that today. I apologise for it. Now, put rather simply, SBS is taking the out of these people of Western Sydney in large lumps. But this time, they're taking it out of them, not via actors portraying housos in a show of the same name, but rather real people who should have never been put in this position. It's all well and good to typify some Australians in that show, or even Kath and Kim, I suppose, to a certain extent, but they're actors, making people laugh. Now, in working class or housing emission suburbs right across the country, there'll be a number of people who are greatly disadvantaged, but in the same areas, you'll find people trying to break the cycle of disadvantage. And you'll find a great many hard-working, decent, articulate people. But, of course, that wouldn't suit SBS's aims to make a story about these people's lives. As I said, my own family started in housing emission, and in the 1960s, with the assistance of the then state-owned rural bank like many, my mum and dad, a butcher and a factory worker, were able to purchase homes in which they'd previously lived, or a home. Now, SBS, I'm sure there are many decent people inside your organisation. But this entire episode reveals many among you are nothing more than elitist snobs trying to poke fun at people who shouldn't have fun being poked at them. They've got a big enough battle without you taking the mickey out of them. And the pompous way in which you've dealt with the matter and the English accent from your content director served you no good at all. I don't know what part of England she comes from. But I take from her accent she didn't grow up in working class Lancashire or Yorkshire. She wouldn't know about working class people and what they go through. And SBS should be told by the communications minister to pull their heads in and do it quickly. Now, to a much lighter note, I got an email as I was and a call as I was going off air yesterday to say that Prince Harry had bought a pork roll at Wattle Grove Shopping Centre in southwestern Sydney. Now, I didn't know whether someone was taking the mickey out of me, but here's the story on page 3 of the Telegraph today. He headed straight to the Wattle Bakery for a $5 roll with the lot, with just a little bit of chilli, and the owner had no idea that it was him. It was only when he left later in the morning that her phone started ringing via curious journalists. Because someone had seen him in there. So, fantastic. the young prince going in for a pork roll with one of his colleagues that he's spending some time with out at Holsworthy. Just wonderful. Plenty of other things for us to talk about today. Oh, by the way, for our Brisbane listeners, as you probably heard through the morning, emergency services called to Mount Cotton Road, Linden Road. This is Capalabar at 7 o'clock. Now, the end of the story is good. The firefighters had to use hydraulic cutting gear to get one of the occupants out of the vehicle. A man in his 60s suffered minor head injuries and a 20-year-old female suffered minor injuries. They've both been conveyed to hospital, Redlands Hospital and Princess Alexandra. Both are okay. Both are okay, which is wonderful news. We had some concerns that they would be in a bit of strife, but they're both okay, which is great. I also reported, as I about to get into sport, about a bit of drama up around Rockhampton. Well, it's been followed up today by the Courier Mail. A Queensland Country Rugby Union player has been banned for 3 years, and three more players have been suspended over an ugly post-match brawl on Anzac Day. The suspensions were dished out after a phone hook-up between the players, A-graders from Rockhampton Brothers, Colts, and the Brisbane and Queensland Rugby Union Judiciary Panel. Three Colts players, including two who are already facing criminal charges, received bans of 3 years, 12 weeks and 10 weeks, while a Brothers player was suspended for 6 weeks. Also, both clubs have been suspended from the 2015 competition. One player reportedly had his head stomped on during the fight. Anyway, well done to the Queensland Rugby Union and those bodies up there, and of course other people will be facing court over those serious allegations. Incidentally, I mentioned that Channel 10 report. We got some social media reports on it yesterday, and it was either published on Thursday or Friday, but for some reason never got any attention from the media. So it'll get plenty of attention today, I'll tell you, and we'll name this grub who will face no time in jail despite having on his phone all these images of little children aged from 12 months to 8. And well done to Channel 10 for bringing it to our attention. We appreciate it. Now, in sport, well, the AFL's got a stack of problems in Queensland with both the Gold Coast and Brisbane. They're having dreadful seasons on the field, and now there's more drama off the field. We've got players from Gold Coast suspended for getting on the drink. We've got the coach allegedly manhandling a player in Brisbane. And there's a fantastic digital image on the back page of the Courier Mail of the boss of the AFL as not Gilligan, but Gillen. And he looks a bit lost. It's not Bob Denver, but he looks equally lost what they'll do with Gold Coast and Brisbane, because there's plenty of people talking, not in rugby league circles, about the future of both those teams in Queensland. They win, they get support. They get beaten, they get no support. They misbehave off the field, they get less support. Now, speaking of misbehaving, we've got players, including Josh Reynolds and Sam Thaiday, with an early guilty plea to their charges. So Sam and Josh won't play this weekend. Sam will miss the game against Penrith on Friday night that I'm calling on Channel 9. But Greg Bird is going to the judiciary tonight at 6 o'clock. Now, I don't care whether I'm influencing anyone in this. I don't give a bugger, not that I will, because the people who make the decision wouldn't listen to me anyway. But if Greg Bird gets his charge downgraded tonight and is allowed to play in Origin 1, it'll be among the greatest blunders by a judicial panel in the history of the game. He has a history of spearing people into the ground. Michael Buettner went and spoke to him from the NRL in December about changing his tackling style. He doesn't change. He doesn't change. The type of tackle he put on Jason Nightingale in the test match on Sunday has to be banned before we have more catastrophic things happen to players that have happened over the past 12 months. That tackle has to be banned. Greg Bird can't get it through his skull that he can't pick up people and spear them into the ground in the fashion that he has many, many times during his rugby league career. He should be gone for 8 weeks and shouldn't be playing in the state of origin in any way, shape or form. You can call me, 131873, email me at 2gb.com, rayhadley.com, or you can get me as well on 4bc.com.au, and you can get podcast videos and program content by going to facebook.com/The Ray Hadley Morning Show. I'm Ray Hadley on 2GB, 2CC, 4BC and stations on the Macquarie Regional, Southern Cross and Capital Radio Networks. It's good to have your company on this Wednesday morning. It's 9:19.
On the Ray Hadley Morning Show, traffic for AustralianFleetSales.com.au.
Into Bankstown, slow traffic on Fairford Road, over Canterbury Road, making its way onto Stacey Street, the M4. Still rather busy through Mays Hill, Coleman Street, down to James Roos Drive. Also, the Ride Bridge, slow up to Top Ride. Now, the Port Macquarie area, truck, he's broken down. Pacific Highway, about 2 kilometres south of the Oxley Highway, a contra flow is in place. At Mascot, Southern Cross Drive, still rather busy, city bound, and through North Sydney, still a lot of traffic on the freeway, making its way down to the city. Sydney Harbour Bridge and Tunnel. This is Ian Wallace for the Ray Hadley Morning Show.
Apply for a Shell card and save 8 cents a litre for 3 whole months. Just visit shellcardoffer.com.au. ABN holders only. Conditions apply.
It's good to have your company 20 past 9. Ingrid from Collaroy. Ray, what on earth has happened to your language? The SBS wankers. And you said it again. You sound terrible. You fight for the right things but lose the common talk. Well, I'm afraid if that's as bad as I get, calling someone from the SBS organisation a wanker, Ingrid, you're going to have to put up with it. 20 degrees in Sydney and sunny. Penrith 20, Liverpool 19, Richmond, Parramatta, Campbelltown all 19 degrees. Brisbane, sunny and 29 degrees today. Same at the airport in Chermside and Ipswich and Logan. Wynnum, Manly, Redcliffe all 29 or 28 degrees. And they're saying tomorrow you may have some showers up there in Brisbane. And then sunny for the rest of the week. Canberra, partly cloudy and 13, the maximum. Port Macquarie, sunny and 24. Kempsey, sunny, 25. Coffs Harbour, sunny and 25. Wagga Wagga, becoming cloudy, 17. Griffith, becoming cloudy, 18. Goulburn, windy, 13. Cooma, the same, 12. Jindabyne, partly cloudy, 9 degrees, the maximum. Orange, mostly sunny, 11. Bathurst, sunny and 13, the maximum. Sunny for Lithgow and 12, the maximum. Barrel, Southern Highlands, sunny, windy, 13. We go with the Page to Mildura, becoming cloudy in 19. Now for Queensland, it is sunny right across the Sunshine State to take the Ray Hadley Morning Program. Maryborough, Harvey Bay, they had some fog, but now it's cleared. 30 inland, 27 the coast. Townsville, 31. Charters Towers, 32. Toowoomba, 24. Kingaroy, 27. Charleville, 26. Mount Isa, 30. Longreach, 32. Emerald, 32. Roma, 26. Wallumbilla, the same, 26. Dalby, sunny, 27. St George, sunny, 23. Gundawindi, sunny and 24. And Cunnamulla, sunny and 23 degrees. It's 22 past 9. It's good to have your company. 131873 is that open line number. 2gb.com. Click onto the feedback icon if you would like to join us. Now, as I said, Channel 10 put a report to air in recent times. For some reason, no one has picked up on it. A 28-year-old named Joshua Lee Smith was caught with 79 photos and 378 videos of children being sexually abused. The prosecution said police seized 9 hard drives and over 80% of videos in the worst category described by the Crown. Of the 79 images found, most were infants and female children aged up to 8 being sexually abused. The youngest victim was just 12 months old. 12 months old. Smith's defence lawyer, Donald McKenzie, argued the photos and videos were sent to Smith, not bought or downloaded, and he had no plans to sell them. We'll have to take Mr. McKenzie's word for that. The court was also allowing him to continue working as a lawn mowing contractor, which involves him going to homes where children may reside. He was given a 12-month non-custodial sentence. Now, this report comes from 10 Eyewitness News, and my thanks to the young mother and journalist Lauren Day, who filed this report.
A crime of exploitation so sickening, it simply beggars belief.
Families hearing this tonight will be absolutely horrified. This is probably one of the worst cases I've ever heard in Queensland.
Get out of my face or I'll ring the police.
Joshua Lee Smith showed no remorse walking free from court after being caught with 79 photos and 378 videos of children being sexually abused.
Because you know full well I got out with no punishment, so you want punishment to be dealt with by the members of the public harassing me. So I suggest you get the out of my face. I'll smash that camera right where it stands.
The prosecution saying police seized 9 hard drives with over 80% of videos in the worst category as described by the Crown. Defence lawyer Donald McKenzie argued the photos and videos were sent to Smith, not bought or downloaded, and he had no plans to sell them on.
It was not stated that I downloaded anything, if you go and get the facts right. They were sent to me on my mobile phone.
Who sent them to you?
Well, that's not known, is it?
The 28-year-old avoided jail, with the judge handing him a 12-month intensive correction order.
The court heard of the 79 images found, most were of infants and female children aged up to 8 years old being sexually abused, and the youngest victim was just 12 months old.
Despite the gravity of the crimes, today it was Smith claiming he was the victim.
Breaching my privacy and plastering it all over the television because you know I got away with it.
The court has also allowed him to continue working as a lawnmower, a job visiting homes and children.
I hope to God my son never comes across you in his life, and I think a lot of parents would feel that right now.
That's right. Go and get a real job.
Lauren Day, 10 Eyewitness News.
Well done, Lauren, well done. Yeah, I hope my son never comes across you. One of the things coming out of that, you know, I got off, and you're cranky. Yeah, well, very cranky, you got off your grub. Joshua Lee Smith, the 28-year-old. But 79 photos and 378 videos, why wouldn't police or the court, given that he's been given a slap on the wrist, a 12-month suspended sentence, why wouldn't they ascertain from him where they came from? He could be part of a pedophile ring for all we know, but doesn't sit very well, any of that. But congratulations to the young lady doing the report, Lauren Day. Well done, Lauren, on behalf of everyone. And I don't know why it wasn't given greater prominence, because I think I'm right in saying it was on Friday night that it aired on Channel 10 in Brisbane. But it needs to be given more prominence, and that grub needs to be identified uphill and down Dale. And I hope that people that formerly used him to mow their lawns no longer use him, given his conviction. Joshua Lee Smith, a 28-year-old from... We don't know specifically where he comes from, but we'll try to find out. 131873 is the open line number. Now, residents of two unit blocks in Sydney have had their fourth night away from home. This is really unacceptable, being forced to evacuate due to the risk posed by two large sinkholes. I've spoken about the sinkholes at Harris Park over the last few days. At least 50 people had to evacuate two buildings after the holes opened up on the weekend after heavy rainfall. Concrete has been pumped into the sinkholes in an attempt to stabilise the ground and prevent further erosion. Now, we spoke to a developer this week about this, and they said it's not uncommon for token work to start on a property with the job put on hold permanently until the value of the site increases. Then the person who owns it simply sells it to another developer. The Parramatta Lord Mayor Scott Lloyd was quoted this week as saying council can't force anybody to build on a site. But I went to the New South Wales Department of Planning, and they said councils are able to issue an order to complete a development within a specified time. The Parramatta Lord Mayor Scott Lloyd's on the phone right now. G'day, Scott.
Good morning, Ray.
Just if we can go to this planning department, because I heard you say there's nothing we can do about it. We'd like to do something about it. Planning say there is something councils can do. Are you aware of that?
Well, on this site, Ray, we can't actually do too much more on this site because there is a part of the Planning Act where we can force people to finish their development.
Right.
But for this site, Ray, they've got a construction certificate only for early works. And basically they've done that. The thing is, Ray, we didn't approve this development. They went to the Land and Environment Court almost 10 years ago for this. They've had a private certifier involved with this. So council has not been involved with this whole process, like what many other developers do go through and have almost a daily relationship with council leading up to the start of construction.
Scott, so I take it before your time, someone in the council would not approve it, so they went to the court to get approval.
Yeah, so they've got approval for a 9-storey dwelling, but they've got a DA on the property, but they've only got a construction certificate for the early works, which is the excavation works. And as you can see, we've got what we've got today.
Where is the owner? Someone said it's a person from overseas and they're back overseas.
I don't know whereabouts they are at the moment, but we're talking through their legal representation at the moment, and they've spoken to them and said they're going to rectify the situation and make it safe. We issued orders last night on all three properties to make sure all of those are safe, and primarily the one, the vacant site, is to pump out that water.
Now, it's reported today the owner of the site, identified as Guang Tian International Group, was ordered last month to deal with the stagnant water. Was that by you?
Yeah, that was done by us. We had a complaint by a constituent, and we put an order there. We sent to his legal team. and we hadn't actually heard back on that one there. That was the other day. But there wasn't as much water ray as what there is there today.
No, because we had the rain since, yeah.
Yeah, there was only, like, from the photos that I saw, Ray, there was only a small amount of water, but enough to bring fear for people about mosquitoes and all those kind of issues.
Do you feel hamstrung about this, where they can, you know, get this certificate to start work, not complete work, and you could have, and I guess people have to understand this could be next to you anywhere in the Parramatta or any other council area where someone starts work and, you know, sometime down the track, be it 10 years later, no work's been completed or continued.
Yeah, we have that quite often, Ray, where what you might have is an old house on a really big block, and part of the significant start of work might be demolition of the old house. So they demolish the house today, and then, for some reason, they don't start building for another 5 or 6 years later, and I get phone calls going, well, what's this place they started building? I can't find any DA, and then we have to track it back to a long time beforehand. But because they started the work before the DA had lapsed, so you might actually have, but what we're going to see is this building got approved 10 years ago. Buildings are a lot, the building products are a lot changed, the designs are changed as well. So this site we'd like to see up and running as soon as possible.
Yeah. It's a pain in the backside, I don't know that, Scott. Anyway, thanks for clearing that up for us. We better go back to the Department of Planning and see if there is a way of dealing with this other than councils being left hung out to dry, so to speak.
Oh, it is indeed. And I think the thing is that we like to thank the friends and family who've been putting up with people who've been out of their homes. We've been working with them, the people who didn't have the support networks around them. We were able to accommodate them, and also with the Department of Family and Community Services, we're working together. Plus also Department of Fair Trading are also aware of the situation. So if they have any problems with their leases or other kind of contracts, they're ready to handle any phone calls.
Finally, do you know when they'll be able to go back? Is there any timeline?
There's no real timeline. So you can say at least a week to 2 weeks.
Right.
But I don't want to rush anything until we know we've got a private certifier that will come in there independent.
Yep.
That'll make an assessment, because people's safety is far more important than a couple of nights.
Okay, mate. Well done.
Couch.
Thanks, Scott.
Thank you very much, Ray.
Thank you, mate. Parramatta Lord Mayor Scott Lloyd, with all those people dislocated at the moment. Andrew's on the line. G'day, Andrew.
G'day, Ray.
Yes, mate. Hello.
Yeah, I've just been driving along the M7 and saw those nice Blacktown City Council garbage trucks on their way to the city.
On the way to the North Shore to run into the SBS building, by the look of it.
Yes, there was 8 of them in a convoy.
Yeah, well, they're going to protest, and good luck to them as well. They should be protesting on behalf of the residents out there. It's not a fair go.
Yeah, I grew up in Blacktown myself and used to work in Mount Druitt. So.
It's a funny old thing. I got an email from some bloke here, and I don't know where he's from, but he says, oh, you grew up in Dundas Valley. It's nothing like Mount Druitt. Let me assure him that Dundas Valley in the 1960s makes Mount Druitt in 2015 look like a resort.
Yes, I used to work at Granville as well.
And yeah, oh, there are plenty of areas, tough areas, you know, and but people, you know, peppered among people who are dysfunctional, the vast majority of people in those areas, be they in Sydney, Brisbane, Canberra, anywhere else, are decent, hard-working people trying to put a meal on the table for their family and make sure they can pay their rent and make sure they can provide for their families by going to work every day.
Right.
And they're not being typified in this one. Thanks, mate. Appreciate that, Andrew. So the garbage trucks from Blacktown on their way, I think, to Artarmon. Police operation out at the 7-Eleven store, Mulgoa Road. We heard about that a bit earlier, and we'll find out from police what it's all about. Thank you very much. 131873. G'day, Mark.
G'day, Ray. How are you?
Good, thank you, Mark.
Look, that sleazebag in his interview with the Channel 10 lady.
Yes.
Towards the finish, I thought I heard him say something to the effect, you know, I got away with it.
Yes, he said that for sure.
He did say that. So, I mean, he's admitted to it. What the...
Mark,
why didn't he get sent away?
Mark, his guilt's not in doubt. He got found guilty. I mean, so him saying I got away with it is a reflection on the magistrate or the judge.
Exactly.
Because he got a 12-month non-custodial sentence. Now, what he's saying there, effectively, is he didn't get away with committing the crime. He got away with a punishment. That's what he got away with.
Yeah.
There's no punishment for him.
None at all. Judicial systems.
I mean, and you see, one of the really good things about us broadcasting into Brisbane now is I get all this information which illustrates, and I know you're from Canberra, the sort of things I deal with on 2CC, on 2GB in Sydney, in Mount Isa, in Toowoomba, are exactly the same in Brisbane. We've got the same problems. Judiciaries that don't do their job.
Absolutely.
All right?
Across the country.
100% right. 100% right. And all this does, by broadcasting to another large centre like Brisbane, is illustrate that their problems are our problems. I mean, I've got a list of stories here in front of me. Wauchope, Kiama, Windsor in Sydney, Canberra, Mildura, Mount Isa. I can go through them all. And it doesn't matter whether it's drink driving, sexual assault of women, pedophilia, the same thing. They don't get the sort of punishment that the community wants. And what I'll do on this program, as I've done over the past 15 years, is keep highlighting it. And I don't get any great joy out of reporting the deficiency of the judiciary in Sydney, Brisbane, Canberra, Mount Isa, or anywhere else. Orange, Bathurst. I mean, I get it all the time. You know, occasionally we get good magistrates, good district court judges in different jurisdictions who do their job and do it well. We've got one in New South Wales named Paul Conlon, an outstanding district court judge. There are others, but he's the most notable one. He puts them away for a long time, pedophiles. But we can't. There was a case I dealt with yesterday where a psychiatrist or psychologist said the 23-year-old church leader who had sex with a 15-year-old girl and tried to have sex with her 13-year-old sister wasn't a pedophile. Well, what the bloody hell is he? He's got a penchant for little girls. He's a pedophile. He got 22 months, by the way, which is about 18 years too short. 131873 is the open line number, 2gb.com. 21 minutes away from the news.
Macquarie National News.
Thank you, Erin.
Good morning, Ray. A convoy of garbage truck drivers is expected soon at SBS headquarters in Sydney's north over tonight's program they claim misrepresents the Mount Druitt community. Commonwealth Bank has recorded a flat $2.2 billion cash profit for the third quarter amid strong competition in the mortgage market. Billionaire Hong Kong developer Tony Fung has plans to build a second casino on the Gold Coast. And we're being told not to panic if we suffer from forgetfulness, with experts saying the likely cause is brain overload, not Alzheimer's disease. In sport, Jason Day is assured of the spotlight at this week's Players Golf Championship, grouped with world number one Rory McIlroy and number two Jordan Spieth. Ray, more news in about 20 minutes.
Okay, thank you very much. Jason says, Rory the grub in Queensland. Images and videos on a mobile phone have to be either taken by that phone or sent by a third party. I find it difficult to believe that police have not looked into the IP addresses or originating email addresses. If the images or videos just appeared on his phone, why didn't he delete them when he realised the nature of the content? Strange. I'm no judge, but it doesn't add up. Find this bloke, please, Ray. He shouldn't be anywhere near kids and mowing lawns near children. You're 100% right. 131873 is the open line number. Adam's online from out Holsworthy Way in Sydney, Southwest. G'day, Adam.
Hey, Ray. How are you, mate?
Not bad. What's happened, mate?
Mate, just going through the roundabout there near the railway station, and you've got a few police cars, and the Australian Federal Police have got a bloke on the ground in custody, pretty close to the army barracks there as well. So.
Okay, thanks for the tip, mate. You're a good man. For obvious reasons, we'll check with police what that's all about, but they've got a bloke in custody near the entrance to the Holsworthy Army base, and we spoke about that this morning. So that's good. Thank you for that, Adam. I'm glad they've got him in custody. We'll find out more about that. The Commonwealth Bank has recorded a flat $2.2 billion cash profit during the third quarter amid strong competition for loans and increase in costs. CBA's net profit, which includes one-off items, also $2.2 billion, down from the $2.3 billion for the same period last year. The bank says home lending growth remains strong, but competition among lenders has weighed on its group net interest margin. 131873 is the open line number, 2gb.com. My colleague and friend, Ross Greenwood, had a bit to say last night about Sky News telecasting the funeral service on Saturday of Myron Sukumaran. Now, I got a phone call this morning from people at Sky News wanting to explain their side of this. The first question I asked them is whether they were telecasting the funeral of Andrew Chan on Friday from Hillsong, and they said no. Now, I'll pass on what they've said. Nathan says from Queensland, this is unbelievable. Myron Sukumaran is not a celebrity. He's a convicted criminal, but Sky News thought it'd be a great idea to televise the funeral live on Saturday. Well, they had a request, Sky News, from the family, whether they would supply a feed of the funeral service to commercial TV networks so they wouldn't have a media scrum at the funeral. In other words, there would be footage required of the funeral for news services, and that would be for the ABC, Channel 10, Channel 9, Channel 7. And Sky News, on behalf of all the other stations, are going there with a feed of the funeral service. Now, they are showing it apparently on one of their other channels, not their main platform, but one of their other channels. I think it's called APAC. I wouldn't be showing it if I were them, but that's a decision for them on APAC. But they say they are acceding to a request from the Sukumaran family to have a, I guess, orderly presentation of the funeral service so that they don't have a media scrum with TV cameras left, right and centre. I can understand that. That I understand. Them actually putting it on one of their platforms, I don't understand in any way, shape or form. When I asked whether they'd be televising Andrew Chan's Friday funeral from Hillsong in the northwestern part of Sydney, they said, no, we had no request from the family, so therefore we're not doing it. We only got involved in this one because of a request from the family. Like I say, I can understand them supplying a feed for the other network stations, but I can't understand for the life of me them showing it on a platform. I wouldn't be doing it, but that's their call. 131873 is our open line number, 2gb.com. Click onto the feedback icon if you would like to join us. And the time is 16 minutes away from 10.
On the Ray Hadley Morning Show, traffic for AustralianFleetSales.com.au.
M4 a smash westbound, taking out lane 1 over James Roos Drive. Now traffic building very quickly. Into Bankstown, Fairford Road, still rather busy over Stacey Street. Onto Stacey Street from Canterbury Road. At Port Macquarie area, truck, he's broken down. Pacific Highway, about 2 kilometres south of the Oxley Highway. Contraflow is in place. At West Pennant Hills, at Pennant Hills, got a vehicle broken down. Pennant Hills Road is southbound, just there in lane 1 at Beecroft Road. And the M5 still rather busy, eastbound around King George's Road down to the main tunnel. This is Ian Wallace for the Ray Hadley Morning Show.
Get double data now with selected 24-month Vodafone Red plans. Be quick though, offer ends June 2. Personal use only. Data for use in Oz. Early exit fees apply.
In relation to what's happening out Mulgoa Road in Sydney in the west, we believe it's a break into that 4711 or that 711. We're told overnight that's why they're there. And I'm just getting reports now. We're checking into the police operation, a man being arrested at the entrance to the Holsworthy Army base, thanks to Adam. But we're now being told there's been a shooting at Miller, out near Liverpool, in Sydney's southwestern suburbs. A shooting. It's occurred in the last hour, apparently, and police are on the scene. We have no further details other than a person has been shot at Miller. We'll have details, obviously, in news bulletins from here. Now, a family friend of this grub that I've been referring to, Joshua Lee Smith, has phoned the program from Queensland to tell me he lives at Beachmere, originally from Bribie Island. But the person goes on to say, as a family friend, obviously they don't want to be identified, he should be locked up. He should be locked up. I'd agree with that. The next step in all of this is to try to ascertain what court it was in, and we'll go to Channel 10 and go to the reporter and see if she can help us there, Lauren Day, and find out what court it was in and who perhaps the magistrate was. I suspect it was a lower court, not a higher court. We'll try and find out. Now, this shooting happened at Cartwright Avenue in Miller. A man has been shot in the shoulder. We assume his condition will be serious but not critical. We hope that's the case anyway. But he's been shot in the shoulder at Cartwright Avenue in Miller. It happened early this morning. We'll find out more about it. And thank you to the family friend of the Smith family that this grub lives at Beachmere, originally from Bribie Island, and the family friend says should be locked up. The Australian ambassador to France has offered his resignation after an embarrassing tantrum, apparently, over diplomatic protocol. Ambassador Stephen Brady was greeting the Prime Minister Tony Abbott in Paris at an airport away from the main airport on Anzac Day. Mr Abbott had been to Gallipoli. When the ambassador's male partner of 32 years was apparently told to wait in the car. Now, DFAT protocol stipulates that if the Prime Minister is with his partner when the ambassador's partner is there, well, the ambassador's partner joins the greeting party. Otherwise, it's just the ambassador greeting the Prime Minister. Now, despite Margie Abbott returning directly to Australia after Gallipoli, Mr Brady refused a request for his partner, Mr Peter Stevens, to wait in the car, apparently blowing up at a junior official who had simply relayed the message. In other words, protocol said, Mrs Abbott's not on the aircraft, therefore you should be going to meet the Prime Minister, but your partner won't be required. It's understood Mr Brady demanded to travel in the same car as Mr Abbott from the airport to the French Presidential Palace. The Prime Minister regularly uses car trips to catch up on important work. The ambassador reportedly took the airport request as a personal slight against his partner because he's a man. Other reports claim the request was politically motivated because the ambassador's partner worked in Kevin Rudd's office when he was Prime Minister. This is despite Mr Brady being given the coveted role in Paris by Tony Abbott last year following a recommendation from the Foreign Affairs Minister, Julie Bishop, and then Mr Brady and his partner both had dinner with the Prime Minister before taking up the role in Paris, and again just 24 hours after the incident at the airport. It's believed Mr Brady offered his resignation, which has now been refused. Sounds like he had a little tantrum. He's now over it, which is good. Well done. 8.5 minutes away from 10. From the Port Macquarie News at Wauchope, police are searching for a man who allegedly attempted to set fire to Bowsers at a Wauchope servo. The man was captured on security footage just after midnight Tuesday. It's alleged he tried to set fire to several Bowsers and stumbled around in an intoxicated state. Police spokesman said the man obviously has no regard for his or anyone else's safety. Caucasian, wearing a striped coat or shirt, aged late 50s with a large beer belly. Should be easy to find around Wauchope, you'd reckon. 1-800-333-000 is the number. Now, Yvette Darth, the Attorney General in Queensland, recently appointed, has come back to us via her office to tell us the story we reported yesterday of the bashing of this poor fella, the disabled pensioner at Bean Lee, and the subsequent dealing with the 16-year-old who was 15 when it took place. They're looking at that. They're revisiting that to see whether there can be some sort of appeal. Well, I think the Attorney General in Queensland might have another job to do today to see whether they can appeal against the inadequate sentencing of 28-year-old Joshua Lee Smith. Some of the most sickening pornography police have ever seen, walking free from a Brisbane court last week, given a 12-month non-custodial sentence, despite some of the images showing a child as young as one. We're trying to find out what court had happened, and we're talking to the reporter Lauren Day from Channel 10 about that and who the presiding magistrate or judge was, but we expect to have an answer in the next hour of the program. The Ray Hadley Morning Program, 2GB, 2CC and 4BC, right across Australia. Welcome back. Second hour of the program. 1-3-1-8-7-3 is that open line number. 2gb.com. Click on the feedback icon. When I was in Brisbane last week, I had a talk to Joe Camilleri, the proprietor of Grand Prix Mazda, and he was singing the praises of a radio veteran, even older than me, I think, Wayne Roberts, who of course was formerly on 4BC in Brisbane. And Wayne will correct me if I'm wrong. I'm pretty sure he came to 2UW. In Sydney as well, which is now no longer. A radio icon, Wayne Poo, as he was known on air. And you can imagine how stunned I was this morning to receive an email from Wayne Poo. But it's for a very good reason. He's lending his support to the Men of League Foundation Queensland Corporate Golf Day, Monday the 15th of June at the Brisbane Golf Club. Registration from 10:30 a.m. would be a shotgun start at 12 noon, I would imagine, with the presentation at 5:30. Now, anyone in that part of the listening area in Brisbane that wish to attend. Team of four, $640 or $160 per person, and I'd imagine there'll be all the noted luminaries from Queensland Rugby League up there for the Men of League Foundation Queensland Corporate Golf Day, Monday the 15th of June at Brisbane Golf Club. If you wanted to participate, you could go to the Men of League website or just email louise@menofleague.com, louise@menofleague.com, or call Louise on 3367 6080 in Brisbane. And there's a hole-in-one, car to be won. And good luck with it, Wayne, and we'll give that plenty of plug through the course of the next few weeks leading into that Men of League Golf Day. And it's great to hear from you. Hope you're keeping well. From our newsroom in Sydney, a man shot, as I told you before, the news in Sydney southwest just after 8:30 this morning at Miller. He was shot in the shoulder. It's understood the shooting was within a school zone and there were families heading to a school nearby. From the 4BC newsroom, a 35-year-old male senior constable from the State Crime Command has been stood down from official duties. The officer is subject to a disciplinary investigation concerning allegations he maintained an inappropriate relationship with a female complainant. They're looking at that. And you can always rely upon one of the Catters, Rob Catter this time, the Mount Isa MP, to make you think about things, and his father does the same thing. In the Courier Mail today, it says Billy Gordon should be given some slack over allegations of domestic violence after growing up in a predominantly Aboriginal community, according to Bob Rob Catter, of course, is based out there at Mount Isa. Speaking about a range of issues, Mr. Catter weighed into the Gordon controversy, saying he wanted to work with the embattled MP over shared issues in regional and rural areas. But he said the issue of domestic violence was viewed differently in rural and regional communities. He said the obvious thing to say is we feel very strongly about domestic violence. A lot of that is rife through regional communities. Billy Gordon grew up in a predominantly Aboriginal community, so those issues run rife. It's something we need to address. When probed by the ABC this morning if Gordon should be given some slack, Mount Isa MP Rob Catter said, I think it's hard not to take that into consideration. He said the attitudes in northwest Queensland were very different to those in Brisbane. It's a different world up there. It's very hard for us to base judgment on people when they lead very different lifestyles. The attitudes in the media and general public in northwest Queensland are very different than those in Brisbane. Well, as I've said before, when I flew to Mount Isa last year, it's quicker to get to New Zealand than it is to get to Mount Isa, so it is far removed from reality in many senses. 131873 is the open line number, 2gb.com. You click on the feedback icon. If you would like to join us, pick up the phone dollar number and you can have your say. Plenty of emails coming in as well. One from Pete Davidson, who is one of the old-fashioned program directors in the media. He's the program director of 2CC, one of our stations that takes the program in Canberra, one of the great radio stations of the country. And in relation to my comments about content directors, he says, agreed. From the PD. Have a great day. Thank you, Pete. Pete's the program director. I suppose that my comments were meant to be lighthearted. However, there are many lessons we can learn from our cousins at the ABC. But in commercial radio, content directors is not one of them. 131873 is the open line number. I'll tell you who the content director of the Ray Hadley Morning Show is. Ray Hadley. 131873 is that open line number, 2gb.com. You want to know who the content director of the Alan Jones Morning Show is? Alan Jones. That's right. You want to know who decides what goes on Christmas program? Chris Smith. 131873 is the open line number. And the only time anyone else gets involved is when you fail. And if you had success for 15 years, they leave you alone. A lesson to be learned by young radio broadcasters. Janine, hello.
Oh, hi, Ray. How are you going?
Really well, thank you, Janine.
That's great. Listen, I just wanted to ring and say just a huge thank you to you for everything that you do promoting your own disease. And a massive shout-out to... There was 8 lifeguards just recently from Lake Macquarie that paddled from Bondi Beach to Blacksmith Beach.
And Janine, I spoke about you yesterday. I know who you are now.
Oh, yeah, thank you. I emailed. I caught the end of it, and I wasn't quite sure what you were talking about.
No, well, this beautiful young woman, in the company of her husband Neil and her 2 daughters, were most welcoming when I went to the Belmont Swansea Surf Life Saving Club or Swansea Belmont last year. In fact, I figured out on air yesterday it was the 17th of May.
It was, correct, yeah.
There are reasons I remember the date, but I won't go into them, Janine.
Okay.
But, of course, Neil had contracted motor neurone disease, and I've shared this story in many discussions when I go and talk to people about motor neurone disease, and if you don't mind, I'll share it again because when Neil and Janine went to the doctors, because he'd been having some issues, and the doctor said, "You've got motor neurone disease," Neil said there was a sense of relief. "Oh, that's good. Okay." And the doctor said, "No, I don't think you understand fully what I'm talking about here." And it wasn't until basically other people looked on the internet, including your daughters and yourself, that you realised exactly what Neil was confronting. And that message that you told me on that night is one that I convey to other people, to say that until it really strikes at the heart of a family, not enough people know about motor neurone disease and the heartache and the way it just absolutely destroys people's lives.
It does. And you could do all the research you want, but until you actually get into the middle of this, my husband can hardly speak now.
Yeah.
You know, a couple of words. And the communication, that's the biggest. You can cope with being tube fed, you can cope with a wheelchair, but not being able to communicate is it's heartbreaking.
Well, can I tell you another story?
Yeah.
And it's really funny. And the first time, or maybe not the first time, but very early in the piece when I met someone with motor neurone disease, it was a young man called Steve Millis.
Yeah.
And I went into Baker's Delight yesterday afternoon to buy some bread rolls. And I got a cuddle as I was walking out from Sally Millis, Stephen's widow. And that was the first time, and that was 11 years ago, she told me yesterday. So it's just coincidental that I should see her for the first time in probably 12 months yesterday, having got your email.
Yeah.
And she said the thing that she dwells on is that the doctors said that Stephen, as is the case with Neil, know exactly what's happening around them. They know exactly what's going on, but they can do nothing about it in relation to communicating their thoughts and their love for those people who are next to them, and that'd be you and your girls. And that's just heartbreaking.
Oh, it truly is. It's but on a sort of a more positive note, our community support up here is phenomenal.
Well, you conveyed that yesterday about the lifeguards.
The lifeguards.
Bondi to Blacksmith and all those wonderful people from the Lake Macquarie Rugby Club and your friends from Swansea Belmont Surf Club.
Yep.
I'll tell you what it was, Janine, that night, for various reasons I'd been feeling too well that week.
Okay.
And it was empowering, it was absolutely empowering.
Yep.
The love and support for your family in that room that night. And it was a really happy night, aided by Alan Robinson, of course, the jockey who
was
there.
He lightens everything up, doesn't he?
Well, I wouldn't say lighten things up. He's quite mad, as you know.
Oh, well, yeah, he told a few naughty stories.
Some of them about me, which I didn't appreciate.
Yeah.
But it was one of those nights when everyone just rallied to the cause and did a fantastic job.
And, you know, everyone has continued that for the last 12 months.
Yeah.
It's we've never felt like we fall, but never too far. There's always someone here.
Okay.
So, you know, for that, the support has been beyond anything I could have imagined for Neil, myself, and our daughters. So,
well, you, your husband, and your daughters are highly valued members of that community, in the broader community in the Hunter, and that's why you get that support. And my thoughts are with you, with Neil, and with the girls at a very difficult time.
Thanks, Ray. And look, from the whole motor neurone community, a huge thank you to you. It's it helps that people actually understand this and you know, they can see what's happening, obviously, but, you know, no cause, no cure. One day we've got to find one.
We will, love. We'll keep fighting.
Yeah. Thanks, Ray.
God bless you. It's lovely to hear your voice.
Oh, thank you.
Give your darling husband a big kiss on the forehead for me.
Will do. Thanks.
Thanks, Janine.
Thanks, Ray. Bye.
All the best. Bye-bye. You think you're having a tough day? A young woman, a young wife, two beautiful daughters. And a husband who's confronting the most dire of circumstances. Just absolutely and utterly dreadful motor neurone disease. You might remember, too, a happier story. I spoke to Angela on Monday. Poor Angela. Her husband's confronting very serious illness at the moment. Her neighbour had seen a beautiful big cactus she had in a pot for quite some time, stolen from her garden out at Green Valley in Sydney's southwest Thursday afternoon. Now, it was close to a metre tall. Some bloke, hopefully with a hernia, knocked it off. The theft was reported to police. Angela's husband of 46 years is very unwell, very unwell. We put Angela in contact with our advertisers, Flower Power, who've arranged for Angela to get a new cactus. She'll be going to Flower Power at Moorbank, which is not far from where she lives, to choose her new plant and pot. And then my mates, John and the team from Flower Power, will get the boys out there to install it for her. So thank you very much to Flower Power. Yes, they are one of our sponsors, and yes, they are good people. Jake, g'day.
How are you, Ray?
Good, Jake. Thanks. What do you got for me?
Well, last night I was driving through the M5, and there was an overheight truck. And as I was coming, as I was behind it, it came out and pulled into the breakdown bay afterwards. I went through the M5 tunnel, did what I did. I was coming back, and there was ambulance and RTA and everything with it. And I just wanted to see if you knew anything about it.
Now, first I've heard about it, mate, but we'll chase up what it's all about. So thank you for the tip. Overheight truck. Stopped by the RMS last night, M5 tunnel westbound. Jake, not a word about it, but a quick phone call and we'll know about it very, very quickly. Thank you for the update. 131873 is the open line number. I spoke in detail about a sickening case which came out of Beenleigh, south of Brisbane, where a 16-year-old boy walked free from court with no conviction after attacking a disability pensioner last year. On Monday night, 7 News in Brisbane showed security footage of the unprovoked attack, which showed the boy, who was 15 at the time, punching a disabled 47-year-old 11 times. The team had an 18-year-old accomplice, who was also filmed hitting the victim 26 times with a house brick on a public bench at the Beenleigh Marketplace. During the attack, which lasted around 2 minutes, the victim was repeatedly kicked and punched, fell to the ground. We put the footage on the website at both 2GB and 4BC. The victim suffers from Huntington's disease, a brain disorder which makes it difficult for him to speak, think or move, let alone defend himself. After watching the footage, Judge Ian Dearden described the attack as appalling, despicable, cowardly, sending a chill down his spine. Despite all that, he didn't do too much with the bloke. No conviction recorded. We contacted the Office of the Queensland Attorney General, Yvette Darth, to see if she'd consider an appeal. Her office has confirmed the Attorney-General is seeking an urgent briefing from the DPP in relation to a possible appeal. Let's hope there is an appeal. He walked free from court with no conviction after pleading guilty to the unprovoked attack on the disabled pensioner. Dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. 131873 is our open line number. It's 20 past 10.
On the Ray Hadley Morning Show, traffic for AustralianFleetSales.com.au.
The M4 smasher westbound over James Roos Drive has been sidelined, but traffic remains heavy. Also, very slow traffic on the M4 heading eastbound through Parramatta down to James Roos Drive. At Brookvale, a smash on Pittwater Road at the Winborne Road. Port Macquarie area, truck, he's broken down. Pacific Highway, about 2 kilometres south of the Oxley Highway, a contra flow is in place. Mascot, we still have some heavy traffic on Southern Cross Drive heading up towards the Moore Park area and Lidcombe Roadworks, Parramatta Road. Lane 1 closed westbound at John Street. This is Ian Wallace for the Ray Hadley Morning Show.
Get a $15 trade-in on a new car battery from the battery experts at Battery World. Offer ends May 31. Conditions apply. Call Battery World on 13 17 60.
It's good to have your company. 131873 is the open line number, 2gb.com. Click on the feedback icon. Story from our newsroom. Retail giant Woolworths is axing 400 jobs as it looks to save $500 million in costs. No further details yet. Retail giant Woolworths is axing 400 jobs as it looks to save $500 million in costs. Incredible. Chris is online from Orange, one of our stations. G'day, Chris.
G'day, Ray. How are you going?
Good, thank you.
You're probably aware, but one of our iconic pubs burnt down last night out at Kidell.
Yeah, I actually got a story from the Central Western Daily. I'm glad you've raised it. It only came through at 6 o'clock this morning. A fire ripped through the Royal Hotel at Kidell at 8 o'clock on Tuesday, destroying large parts of the building. The cause of the fire is not known, but the brigades from Kidell, Manildra, Cheeseman's Creek, Northwest and Molong all fought to control the blaze. So is it gone completely, is it, mate?
Yeah, mate, yeah. Unfortunately, the age of the building and the ceiling space allowed the fire to travel reasonably quickly.
Mm.
So there's not much of the pub that's going to be salvageable, unfortunately.
You wouldn't believe it. I've just called. It's amazing, you know, communication in 2015. This happened last night. I've just called up from the internet a photo with fire and rescue out the front of the pub, and by gee, she is well alight.
Yeah, absolutely. We there was footage. We were there probably 20 minutes, probably half an hour maybe after it started, and there was footage on Facebook and so forth before we got out there. So. Mm. Yeah,
well, mate, yeah, it's gone. Hopefully they'll be able to rebuild, but in its old form, it certainly is gone by the look of that photo.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
All right, mate, thanks for the tip. I appreciate it, Chris. That's from Orange in central western New South Wales. Now, I did this before the news, and our newsroom did it as well, about the shooting out at Miller in southwestern Sydney. The story I've got from police media is slightly different to the initial report. It says police in Sydney's southwest have commenced inquiries after a man was found with a gunshot wound at Miller. Now, they're saying they went to Heckenberg Avenue this morning where they found a man with a wound to his leg. Now, they told us it was a wound to the shoulder, but they're saying a leg. The 25-year-old taken to Liverpool Hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. Officers from Green Valley LAC have established a crime scene, so I guess they're looking for a shooter at the moment. 131873. Diane says from Brisbane, I spoke to you on your first day in Brisbane. I got abuse on my Facebook, but I still listen. Diane, one of the things that, you know, you probably should do in relation to Facebook is just ignore it, because there'll be narcs out there all the time abusing you, particularly if you say that you listen to a shock jock, shock horror. But I'm glad that you haven't been put up by their abuse, and I'm glad you're still with us. We have a big Facebook component of the program. Hundreds of thousands of people view our stories via Facebook on a regular basis, which is looked after by my staff here. I don't participate in it, but stories that we do on air go onto Facebook, and people show great interest in it. But anyway, from that form, I mean, don't involve yourself in having discussions with people about me or anyone else. You won't win. A story from the Courier-Mail: a Sri Lankan man charged over a string of sexual assaults will be deported after a court sentenced him to a suspended jail term for the two attacks. The chief magistrate struck out the four other charges against Dylan Ishara Haralu, 18, after prosecution offered no evidence. Haralu was arrested in January after a campaign to find the man behind a spate of sexual assaults over 12 months involving as many as six women walking in the Bulimba and Hawthorne area near Brisbane. The Crown Prosecutor Jacqueline Malouf said both the victims had since experienced anxiety about walking alone and had sought counselling. The barrister for Haralu, Robert Glenday, said his client had been held in immigration detention since April 20. He said Haralu would be deported to Sri Lanka. He was sentenced to 6 months in jail, wholly suspended for 18 months. I wonder when he goes back. I'll check with the immigration minister tomorrow, Peter Dutton, whether he goes back with a little name tag on, "I rape women," or words to that effect. You'd like to think the authorities in Sri Lanka are well aware of what's going on. 131873 is that open line number, 2gb.com. Click on the feedback icon. Bill is phoning me from Galston Gorge to say a truck and dog heading towards the gorge from Hornsby. You there, Billy?
Yeah, how you going?
All right, whereabouts is it?
It's just not long come into the gorge.
So it's actually gone past the gone past where that measuring bay is?
Yeah.
Oh,
God. I'd say you'll be getting a few calls, Ray.
Well, Billy, you'll be the first of many. And for people that are joining us for the first time in Brisbane, this is an ongoing saga that torments my life. We have a gorge called the Galston Gorge, which goes from basically the Old Pacific Highway out to the Hills District, and it's not suitable for vehicles over a certain length. And what they've done, the RMS in Sydney, to counter these trucks going down there is put a measuring bay there, put alarms in place. But every now and then, not as frequently as it used to, you get a dill who ignores all the warning signs, gets stuck at the bottom of the gorge, and as a result of getting stuck at the bottom of the gorge, motorists on both sides of the gorge are put to great inconvenience for a long, long time. Okay, we go from that to Gil Taylor, our court reporter. He's at the Downing Centre local court. This is regarding the Mona Vale track crash on the northern beaches. Let's find out what's happened with the driver of that truck, Shane Anthony Day. Gil, good morning to you.
Good morning, Ray. He's been committed to stand trial in the district court, dangerous driving, occasioning death and grievous bodily harm. Now, Shane Day has appeared before Magistrate Janet Walquist, who has told the court she's satisfied a properly instructed jury could convict and has committed him to stand trial. The court heard he reached about 86 k's on descent at Mona Vale Road and failed to observe a low gear sign, which trucks are instructed to use, as you'd be aware, descending the hill like that one at Mona Vale. He hit a power pole. He was carrying 33,000 litres of fuel, and his rig slid for 50 metres before it came to rest. And we know the rest. It was quite a high-profile crash with, you know, the flames very high in the sky and a lot of onlookers taking photos and whatnot. Two people killed and several others were injured. So Shane Day will face a trial on that. He's going to be arraigned in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, the most important thing out of all that, I mean, there were people talking about brake failure and all the rest of it, but it was at committal indicated that, in fact, he hadn't engaged low gear, as you just said, that he went down there in normal gear.
That's right. And a lot of crash experts, Ray, have said that in this case, the brakes alone may not have prevented the truck from losing control the way it did, because, I mean, I don't know anything about driving trucks, really, but you can just imagine a rig that big. If you're not in low enough gear, the brakes alone, you know, you could still be in trouble, even if you're pumping on the brakes, as one of the crash experts said.
Mm. Okay, thanks, Gil. Gil Taylor, our court reporter at the Downing Centre Local Court in Sydney. And the story that we reported back on the 30th of April, the Mona Vale truck crash driver charged with neg driving, which led to the death of two men, will learn today whether he'll stand trial. Well, he's learned that he will. He's been committed to stand trial. Coots truck driver Shane Anthony Day, committed committal hearing at the Downing Centre Local Court concluded last week. The 47-year-old Wagga man was charged with multiple offences, including two counts of dangerous driving occasioning death. Last week, the court heard from the defence that faulty brakes caused the crash and not high speed, as put forward by police investigators. In final submissions, the Crown argued that since Mr Day had driven the truck for 2 months, he should have known the condition of the brakes. But there was, of course, evidence offered that he didn't engage low gear. The Crown argued that even if they did not see a road sign instructing heavy vehicles to use low gear, he should have drawn on his own experience to drive the truck to the conditions. And he didn't. And he's facing some very serious charges in the district court now. 131873 is our open line number. If you would like to, join us, Ray Hadley, the morning on 2GB, 2CC, 4BC and stations across Australia.
Macquarie National News.
Thank you, Erin.
Hello there, Ray. In a bid to save $500 million, Woolworths will be getting rid of 400 jobs. Retrospective laws enforcing the powers of ICAC in New South Wales could be pushed through Parliament within the day. Queensland State Parliament resumes today with the Palaszczuk government able to pass legislation thanks to former Labor MP Billy Gordon. And animal rights groups have slammed Spanish police for shooting dead a chimpanzee named Eve who escaped from a zoo. In sport, Greg Bird's putting his State of Origin series on the line tonight at the NRL Judiciary. He's hoping to downgrade his dangerous throw charge, but could be rubbed out for 8 games. Ray, more news in about 27 minutes.
Okay, thank you. Had all these people from Western Sydney telling you about the police operation out at this petrol station, the 7-Eleven servo at Mulgale Road at Regentville, near the Nepean Animal Hospital. At 10 to 5 this morning, a man armed with a crowbar allegedly held up the 7-Eleven petrol station there at Regentville at Mulgale Road. He allegedly stole an amount of cash and fled in the car. No staff or customers were hurt in the incident, which is good. No one hurt in the incident, and police are still waiting to talk to witnesses, or they still are talking to witnesses, and they'll get a description of the man for us shortly. Thank you. Now, speaking of motor neurone disease, as I was earlier, motor neurone disease kills 2 Australians every day. People with MND progressively lose the use of their limbs and the ability to speak, swallow and breathe, whilst their mind and senses usually remain intact. There's no cure yet. MNDresearch.org.au wants to know what value you put on the ability to dress yourself or hug your family. Put a price on it, that's your donation. Go to the website, MNDresearch.org.au, or phone 1-800-777-175 and donate today to give hope. 1-800-777-175 to donate. Around 2,000 people have MND in Australia. The average life expectancy, 2 to 3 years from diagnosis. Well, Neil, I spoke to Janine, his wife, earlier, was diagnosed in the early part of last year, and now he's suffering greatly with MND. Just terrible. It's 11:25. It's good to have your company. 131873 is the open line number. Generosity of Flower Power Extraordinary says, Wendy, how can anyone steal a pot plant from an elderly lady? Yeah, we dealt with that yesterday, love. We're still trying to understand how someone would do that. It's beyond my belief as well. 131873, Steve says, Ray, you made the comment Beenleigh was south of Brisbane. It's actually located in the Logan City Council local government area, 30k from Brisbane CBD, the same distance as Blacktown is to the Sydney CBD. Yeah, well, Steve, it's south of Brisbane, like Blacktown's west of Sydney. But anyway, thank you. The Beenleigh Court is known as the Southern District Court. The magistrate, Ian Dearden, is a former head of the Civil Liberties Council, who was appointed by either Premier Beattie or Premier Bligh. 131873 is that open line number, 2gb.com. You click on the feedback icon if you would like to join us. I just watched part two of those two lowlifes bashing that old gentleman. I couldn't watch it again. Well, he's only 47, I think, the victim. Someone needs to sort people like that out. Well, obviously not the magistrate they appeared in front of. Thank you, Andrew Wilson, for your kind words. We'll keep up our great work in protecting the voiceless. We'll do the best we can. 131873. Now, 2GB.com, you click on the feedback icon. Gemma Gunning is our reporter at the SBS headquarters at Artarmon, which is on the northern side of Sydney, where the seven trucks, I believe, from Blacktown Council have arrived. G'day, Gemma.
Hi there, Ray.
How are the scenes at SBS? Have we got seven or more?
We've got more. I've counted 10, as expected. It's quite orderly, actually. The police were here. Security was here. They've marked off with witch's hats the side of the road, so they've managed to park out. But we have seen the mayor of Blacktown, Stephen Barley. He's arrived in the first truck, waving to the crowd, some of the truck drivers yelling out of the window, Mount Druitt, number one. They've some residents that have been most upset about this have arrived as well. We've been hearing speeches from them and the mayor reiterating his call that this program be dumped or at the very least postponed.
Yeah, okay, thank you, Gemma. I don't think that's going to happen at the SBS headquarters in Artarmon. Gemma Gunning, our reporter there. Darren from Mackay says, please view this link. Another judge with a please explain rate. No, that's the one we've been doing for 2 days, Darren. That's the two young blokes we've spoken about for 2 days, mate. We know all about that one. All about that one. Thank you very much. Now, rats and mice, stop them in their tracks with Pestrol rodent-free, safe around your family and pets, environmentally friendly and chemical-free. Pestrol rodent-free has a 2-year warranty and comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee. There's no ongoing cost. It won't affect any electrical appliances and combines both electromagnetic and ultrasonic technologies that cover walls, ceilings and open spaces. No traps, no mess, 24-hour-day protection. Every household needs a Pestrol rodent-free. Order one for $119, $119 right now by free calling 1-800-33-8888, 1-800-33-8888 or pestrol.com.au, pestrol.com.au. People don't truly realise just how much damage these pests can do. 1-800-33-8888 or Pestrol, PESTROL.com.au. I had a few emails yesterday asking me to replay our studio blow-up song. When did this happen to us, Bowen? Can you recollect specifically when the studio blew up?
I think towards the end of last year. It was before Christmas.
Well, the song is self-explanatory for people that haven't heard it before, but we went to go into a studio from which we are normally domiciled, the studio from which I'm broadcasting right now, and nothing worked.
And yeah, it was dead.
Dead.
And there was the faint smell of smoke.
Yes, there was indeed. So, I mean, we did what we did for the next 3 hours, and this was a result from the Robertson brothers.
Testing, 1, 2, 3, 4, testing. I can't even get emails in here. Bloody modules packed it in again. That's what happens with modules, apparently.
Ratio went down, and oh my lord, how funny. When troubles come, they handled it with ease. The joint shut down, we're lucky there was not silence. No ads or calls, just dribbling poor Hadley. The studio blew up, everything just stopped working. It just blew up, it's never happened to Hadley.
There'll be a few blow-ups at 12 o'clock.
His voice was strong until the clots were smoking.
No cough button.
His lungs filled up. He needed cups of tea.
I've never, ever had to talk about nothing for 2.5 hours.
The modules blew up. It's clear there was commotion. It's engineers were strong. They had pressure on their shoulders. The hour pips gave up. Raced off, sounded like geese.
Well, that was disgraceful.
It was a big stuff up. Ray, do it again, please.
Beep, 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 beep.
Yes, for the first time in 30 years of broadcasting, the pips went as well. Had to manufacture our own pips. Bowen, your memory, like mine, is failing.
Oh, no.
That was the 29th of July last year that happened.
It was before Christmas. I was half right.
Yeah, you were half right. And the reason it happened, we know the specific date. The Prime Minister was supposed to be a special guest of the program.
I do recall that.
At 20 past nine, and obviously we didn't get him on. It's never happened before. Hopefully it'll never happen again. By the way, Chris is phoned from Orange. Mitchell Highway accident closed 10 k's out of Orange heading towards Dubbo. Good on you, Chris. There's an accident. Mitchell Highway closed 10 k's out of Dubbo. And thank you for that for motorists in the Orange and Dubbo areas. Mitchell Highway closed 10 k's out of Orange, heading to west towards Dubbo. I wanted to catch up with Ed Husic, the Federal MP for Chifley, the Labor MP, have a yarn to him about an issue regarding same-sex marriage. Usually not a subject I discuss on the program because I think it's something left to the conscience of various people, including politicians, but Ed's on the line. G'day, Ed.
G'day, Ray. How are you?
Not bad. I not being provocative, but I note today you've become the latest Labor MP to switch positions and back same-sex marriage. You say that was because your electorate had indicated to you previously they didn't support it, and I think you're saying now they do support it. Is that right?
Well, what I'd said previously is I hadn't really picked up a mood for change to the Marriage Act in my area.
Mm.
But and when I voted, you know, to not change the Marriage Act and allow same-sex marriage, I had a lot of people that were affected by that decision that said, well, okay, those people might not be, the majority might not be interested in seeing change, but this does affect us.
Mm.
Why can't we do something that we think is important in our lives? And that really did get me thinking. When I was door knocking, I actually, during the 2013 campaign, had people saying to me, you know, same-sex partners, saying, who were really good about it, like wanting to sit down and talk, and saying, but this doesn't affect anyone else other than stopping us from doing what we want to do in our lives. And when you have that argument, it's pretty powerful.
Now, the reason it's more powerful in a discussion with you, and again, I'm not being provocative, and I never discuss anyone's religion on this program. It's a matter I don't normally get into, but it's obvious that you're the only and first Muslim MP federally. Mm. How does that fit in with your beliefs as a practicing Muslim about same-sex marriage? Are you in conflict there?
My faith has always guided me at a personal level, but I've always been clear that, you know, I make decisions for the best of the electorate, and I think this decision is designed to reflect that, or does reflect that in part. But I've also said, Ray, previously, my faith didn't guide me in that decision in terms of voting against same-sex marriage in the past. I was doing it on the basis of what I was detecting on the ground.
Sure.
And did it that way. But
would you expect a backlash from people of the Muslim faith because of your stance over the decision?
I think regardless of faith, there might be some people who are very strong in their faith across all different faiths.
Oh yeah, 100%. I mean, there'd be plenty of Catholics.
Won't agree with my position.
Yeah.
And I understand that, and I respect that. But I guess the thing in a modern democracy is you do take the notion that the majority calls a shot. You certainly understand that.
Mm.
But you can make room for people that want to see things done in their lives and make laws accordingly to allow them to live their lives in the way that they want if it doesn't harm the rest of the community. And in this case, there's no real logical reason to stop it. And I think that the way that the times are going, people are much more open to this notion.
Sure.
So I think we do need to reflect that.
One of the things, I mean, these opinions are sought from me from time to time, and, you know, I'm not affected by it, and so I think, I'm not going to tell people that it's a good idea or a bad idea because basically I don't think it's any of my business. But then I had a conversation with someone relatively close to your side of politics who has a child who is homosexual, and explained to me how difficult it was for that child with a partner not to be involved in a permanent relationship, as my children can be as heterosexuals. And it made me think about it, you know, and I thought, well, it doesn't seem fair, but again, I'm not telling people what to think. The only thing I'd lead from that, do you still think it should be, as far as your party's concerned, a conscience vote, something that's dictated to by the individual member, not dictated to by the party?
Absolutely, 100%.
All right.
I think people should make their own minds. As Bill Shorten said the other day, people should be convinced, not forced.
Mm.
And I got convinced by talking with people on the ground who were affected by the decision. And along the lines of what you were just describing a few moments ago with that other, you know, person, that other politician,
yeah, sure,
with their children. And you think, well, okay, if it's not hurting anyone else, and this allows people to do something that they think is really important in their lives, why aren't we doing it?
All right,
and,
Ed.
And that's the sort of thinking I'd apply to this.
You've explained it very well. I appreciate your time.
Good on you.
Thank you. Ed Husic, Federal Labor MP for Chifley in New South Wales. Now, the time is 10:30 to 11.
On the Ray Hadley Morning Show, traffic for AustralianFleetSales.com.au.
Just getting reports coming through of a multi-vehicle smash on the M5 around Henry Lawson Drive. Possibly city-bound, so just take it easy through there. Granville, work continues on Woodville Road before Parramatta Road, lanes 1 and 2 close northbound. Around the Glazeville Bridge, watch out for milk crates on the road. Port Macquarie area, a truck, he's broken down. Pacific Highway, about 2 kilometres south of the Oxley Highway, a contra flow is in place. Orange, a smash on the Mitchell Highway, Thompson Road and the M5. One Pacific Motorway is okay in both directions. This is Ian Wallace for the Ray Hadley Morning Show.
You're four times more likely to crash when you hold and use a mobile phone while driving. So help keep the road safe for everyone and get your hand off it.
Breaking news out of Canberra. Senator Christine Milne has resigned her position as leader of the Australian Greens. Senator Milne informed the party room this morning in Canberra, and a ballot for the new leader will occur at 11:30 this morning. 11:30, there'll be a press conference at 1:30 this afternoon. The Tasmanian Green pre-selection process for the 2016 election opens shortly. Senator Milne told the party room that having decided not to contest the election for another six-year Senate term, she would resign as leader. You know what that means, don't you? Who could be leader? Oh, no. We might have to play another song for Sarah Hanson-Young sometime in the next day or two. Christine Milne gone. Will it be Sarah Hanson-Young? Oh, God, no. Dean says, can you give a shout-out to an old bloke turning 70 today? Ian Hodges from Tarrant Point in the Shire, in Sydney's Shire, an old penal beater, well-known in the local area. He now spends his days playing golf at Cronulla Golf Club, throwing a fishing line off the backyard and staying out of his wife Gail's way. All the best to him from his three kids, Troy, Dean, Cherie, daughters-in-law Linda and Jackie, and the five grandkids, Lachlan, Carly, Zach, Kynan and Aidan. Good on you, old mate, Ian. Enjoy it. Incredible. 70. Have a good time with the grandkids, mate. Do your best. A Cooma woman has been charged with stealing and resisting arrest after the theft of a charity box at a Cooma fast food outlet last week. The 24-year-old, not named, has been arrested. She'll appear in court on May 19 and then we'll name her. Mark from Camp Hill in Queensland says, my tip for the Greens leadership, Scott Ludlam. You heard it here first. What do I win? Nothing, just my thanks. Well, it wouldn't matter whether you're right or wrong. One's as bad as the other. Channel 7 Rockhampton has confirmed a plane carrying four people has been forced to land on a main road west of Rockhampton. It's a privately owned plane. Fuel issues, they're saying. The plane has landed on a bitumen road near the Capricorn Highway. No one was injured. Incredible. And then they'll take off later this morning. And welcome back to the final hour of the Ray Hadley Morning Program on this Wednesday morning. Someone who doesn't identify themselves. Morning, Ray. Said the Greens will have a new leader. You wouldn't use this change in leadership and associated press coverage to start a bullying campaign with all the silly songs and misinformation. You need to take your position seriously, Ray. Honesty is so important. All the best. Well, just for you, Earl.
I had to check my pants. I left for a while. For heaven's sake, she got it wrong by a mile. Hoping for the best, but expecting the worst every time she opens up her mouth. Sarah Hanson-Young is just the worst ever. She makes Bob Brown even look kind of clever. Talk about a half-wit, gee, she looked like a drip. See, Patrol is fiction, ma'am. Check out Ray's video, she looks so dumb. Her eyes started blinking.
can mention you, what she done. I guess she really loves that Lisa McCune. And Home and Away's Alf too.
Lyman Mongrel.
Sarah Hanson Young. I don't wanna hear Sarah Hanson Young.
What the hell's going on?
I'm sure she'll be quite mad forever. Forever. Not clever.
We have another television show, of course, about the Coast Guards. There does seem to be a little bit of a double standard here.
Sorry, Senator, the TV show about the Coast Guards, is that the fictional Sea Patrol program? I don't know which one you're talking about.
In relation to fishing boats.
Sarah Hanson Young. I don't want to hear Sarah Hanson Young.
Lyman Mongrel.
I'm sure she'll be quite mad forever.
Welcome back. Finally out of the program. Yes, Sarah Hanson-Young. In the next 20 minutes, we'll find out who the new Greens leader is, with Christine Milne deciding to retire from politics. I got a note saying how much of those 400 people being paid if they're saving $500 million? No, it's part of an overall package. The story says retail giant Woolworths will shed an extra 400 jobs. It looks to save $500 million cost, not just from that. Their chief executive, Grant O'Brien, told investors today the company has already axed about 400 full-time jobs from its back office operations. Now a further 400 will be cut as the retailer accelerates its lean retail model designed to save $500 million in costs between now and next year, the end of the next financial year, 2015-2016. Channel 7 Brisbane reporting that a police officer has apologised to the court for swearing on the night of the Broadbeach riot. The recording was just played in court during the trial of the former Bandidos accused, and that's Peter Morich, who pleaded not guilty to rioting. Well, given the circumstances of what happened, you can understand people swearing, particularly police officers confronting what they were confronting. And also in the news out of 4BC, two Bandido bikey brothers are due to face court accused of bashing a man outside the Greenslopes Hospital earlier this year. The 23 and 28-year-old men were charged with serious assault, possession of steroids, assault or obstructing police after an investigation into the incident in Brisbane South in January. The men are to face Brisbane Magistrates Court today will be alleged they attacked a man with a tyre iron and threatened an off-duty police officer into the bargain. That's two Bandido bikey brothers. That story coming out of Brisbane. 131873 is that open line number, 2gb.com. You click onto the feedback icon. We started the day by playing the audio from last week from Channel 10 in Brisbane. And this related to this despicable man, Smith, who, of course, Joshua Lee Smith, found guilty. 79 photos, 378 videos of children being sexually abused. The prosecution say police seized 9 hard drives with over 80% of videos in the worst category. Of the 79 images found, most were of infants, female children aged between 8, 1 being sexually abused as young as 12. He continues working as a lawn mowing contractor. He goes to homes where children may reside. I think the parents of those homes would want to know about that, wouldn't they? But given a non-custodial sentence, a 12-month non-custodial sentence. Excellent work was done by a reporter on Channel 10, and she followed it up the next day as well on Joshua Lee Smith. Her name is Lauren Day. Now, she's on a day off, but she's kindly consented to talk to me. G'day, Lauren.
Hi, Ray. How are you?
Good. I'm sorry to disturb your day off.
No, thanks for calling.
Well, two things grabbed me in the report, and I know that we're supposed to be dispassionate when we're news reporters like you are, but the comment about your child being in the vicinity of this man, Joshua Lee Smith, just grabbed me, because I think every mother, be they a reporter on Channel 10 or listening anywhere else, would feel exactly the same.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. I've actually had a lot of people come up to me and say that that comment just resonated with them, because so many people can relate to that. But he's this guy who can still work as a mower man, who can go to homes, who can go to families. No one knows about his past. Mm. It's scary stuff. My son's only 18 months, and they're so vulnerable. They're so innocent. I just got so angry that with the sentence and the fact that he was let off. And I guess having a child, it makes it sick, really.
Mm. Now, you can help me. You were in court for the decision. I believe it was in the Brisbane District Court, and the Chief Judge was Kerry O'Brien. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct, yeah.
And is it also correct, I've been told, this didn't make it to air, but the defence lawyer for this creature said, we know a jail term is inevitable, but His Honour said, not necessarily.
Yes, that's correct. And when that happened, the prosecutor shook her head. As the sentence was read out, she just shook her head. She was obviously so shocked that he got off. And after court, I also asked if I could speak to the prosecutor, but she didn't want to talk to me. So I guess anyone would be so disheartened to go through all this research and work, and then at the end of the day, he just walked off pretty much scot-free.
Mm. And he made the... You know, I'm paraphrasing what he said to you in the interview. Mm. You know, basically, I got away with it. Well, he didn't get away with it, but he got away with the punishment for the crime he committed.
Yeah, he was given a 12-month intensive correction order. Mm. That basically means he's still free to be in Brisbane and can still work. He just has to report to the police station. But there was no jail term. Mm. So in his own words, he said, you know, I got away with it. And that's what Braveheart was so upset about. We